Good morning. It's Tuesday, July 7th, 2026. This is Clear Text. I'm Alex Chen.
And I'm Jordan Reeves. Alex, I want to start with something that should make every CISO sit up. Sysdig has documented what they're calling the first confirmed case of agentic ransomware in the wild. An AI agent, not a human operator, handled the technical execution of a ransomware attack end to end. We've been talking about this theoretically for 2 years. It's not theoretical anymore.
That is where we're going to spend some real time today. We've also got a 16-year-old KVM vulnerability that lets guest VMs escape to the host, active exploitation of a max severity cold fusion flaw, and a new NetScaler memory disclosure bug that's giving everyone Citrix bleed flashbacks. On the geopolitical side, Chinese espionage actors are hitting university physics departments through RoundCube, and Canada's spy agency just publicly admitted to hacking a ransomware gang. Lots to cover. Let's get into it.
So let's start with Jade Puffer, which is what Sysdig is calling this agentic ransomware incident from late June. Here's the setup. A human threat actor initiated the campaign, but the AI agent handled the actual technical execution. It exploited a Langflua vulnerability, exfiltrated data, and encrypted systems. The human set the objective. The machine did the work.
And that's the part that matters for defense. We're not talking about AI generating better phishing emails or writing malware faster. We're talking about an autonomous agent making real-time decisions during an intrusion. Reconnaissance, lateral movement, data staging, encryption. The compression of the attack timeline is the immediate operational concern. If your mean time to detect is measured in hours, you may already be too late against something that operates in minutes.
Right. And I want to be precise here, because the hype machine is going to run wild with this. The agent didn't do everything. Sysdig was clear about that. A human still had to point it at a target and kick it off, but the barrier to entry just dropped dramatically. You no longer need a skilled operator to execute the technical chain. You need someone who can prompt an agent and aim it.
Which means the population of people who can execute a sophisticated ransomware attack just expanded by orders of magnitude. For CISOs, the practical implication is twofold. First, your detection logic needs to account for attack patterns that don't look human. No pauses, no typos in commands, no coffee breaks between steps. Second, your incident response playbooks need to assume compressed timelines. If you're still planning for a 6-hour window between initial access and encryption, revisit that assumption.
Right. And honestly, this also changes the math on automated response. The argument against automated containment has always been the risk of false positives disrupting business. But if the attacker is an agent moving at machine speed, your human-in-the-loop response model may simply be too slow. That's a conversation boards need to have.
Agreed. This is a board-level conversation about risk tolerance for automated defensive action. Let's shift to the vulnerability landscape because this is a heavy week. Jordan, walk us through the KVM flaw.
CVE-2026-53359. They're calling it JanEscape. It's a use-after-free bug in the shadow MMU code in Linux KVM. It affects both Intel and AMD x86 platforms, and it has been sitting there for 16 years. A public proof of concept crashes the host kernel from inside a guest VM. The researcher claims a separate unreleased exploit achieves full code execution on the host.
So for anyone running KVM-based virtualization, which is a significant portion of enterprise infrastructure and a huge chunk of cloud providers, this is a guest-to-host escape. That breaks the fundamental isolation guarantee of virtualization. In multi-tenant environments, this is existential.
Exactly. If you're a cloud customer, you're relying on your provider's hypervisor isolation. If you're running your own KVM infrastructure, you need to patch now. The public proof of concept is enough to cause denial of service. The full exploit, if it surfaces, gives an attacker in any guest VM root on the host and access to every other VM on that box.
If you're running KVM in production, this is your priority this week. Full stop. Now, Cold Fusion, CVE-2026-48282, CVSS 10.0.
Max severity. Adobe patched it June 30th. Watchtower published technical analysis on July 2nd. Exploitation was detected within minutes, not hours, minutes. This is the new normal for high-value vulnerabilities. The window between patch and exploit is effectively zero for anything with a public POC.
And Cold Fusion is still running in a lot of enterprise web application environments, more than people realize. If you haven't inventoried your Cold Fusion instances, today's the day. If you can't patch immediately, isolate them from the internet. This is not one you can schedule for the next maintenance window.
And then we have NetScaler, another memory disclosure flaw being actively exploited after a POC dropped. The headline from Dark Reading says it all. Citrix bleeding again. Same product family, same pattern. POC publishes, attackers weaponize it almost instantly.
For CISOs who lived through the original Citrix bleed in 2023, you know what this looks like at scale. Mass compromise of VPN infrastructure, credential theft, persistent access. If you have NetScaler in your environment, treat this as an emergency. And if you went through Citrix bleed the first time, dust off that incident playbook, because the response pattern is going to be very similar.
And rounding out the vulnerability segment, BeyondTrust patched CVE-2026-40138, a pre-authentication bypass in remote support and privileged remote access, CVSS 9.2. Unauthenticated attackers can take control of the device.
BeyondTrust products sit at the absolute center of privileged access in many enterprises. And this is the same vendor that was exploited in the Treasury Department breach in late 2024. Given that history and the pre-auth nature of this flaw, prioritize this alongside KVM and Cold Fusion. Four critical vulnerabilities in 1 week, all requiring immediate action. Your patching teams are going to need support.
Let's pivot to geopolitics. Proofpoint published research on a suspected China-aligned group exploiting RoundCube vulnerabilities to compromise physics and engineering departments at U.S. and Canadian universities. The RoundCube CVE they used, CVE-2024-42009, is a 9.3. They're stealing credentials, and they're specifically targeting STEM research.
This is textbook Chinese state IP theft, and it's been going on for decades. But the targeting tells you what Beijing is interested in right now. Physics and engineering departments doing research in areas that map directly to military and advanced manufacturing applications. If you're a CISO at a defense contractor, an advanced materials company, a semiconductor firm, a national lab, treat this as a signal that you are either already being targeted or you're next in the queue.
The round cube angle is interesting too. This isn't a zero day. These are known vulnerabilities in webmail infrastructure that a lot of universities simply haven't patched. The barrier to entry for this campaign is low. The intelligence value of what they're stealing is enormous. That asymmetry is exactly what makes state-sponsored espionage so effective.
And for enterprise CISOs, the supply chain angle matters. If you're collaborating with universities on research, if you have joint ventures, if your engineers are adjunct faculty, those university email systems are now a vector into your intellectual property.
Shifting to Canada, CSE, their signals intelligence agency, publicly disclosed in their annual report that they conducted offensive cyber operations against a ransomware as a service gang in 2025. They also hit an online extremist group and drug traffickers.
This is significant for a couple of reasons. First, it's a Five Eyes ally publicly acknowledging offensive operations against criminal infrastructure. That's still rare. The US and UK have done it, but Canada being this transparent about it normalizes the practice across the alliance.
Second, and this is the part CISO should think about, when governments hack ransomware gangs, those gangs sometimes retaliate, not against the government because that's hard, but against softer targets. We saw that dynamic after Colonial Pipeline when the US went after DarkSide infrastructure. The group fragmented and its members showed up in other operations. Disruption is good, but disruption creates chaos, and chaos creates unpredictable threat actor behavior.
That's a nuanced point. Law enforcement disruption is net positive for the ecosystem, but it doesn't eliminate the operators, it scatters them. And scattered, angry operators sometimes escalate.
Let's quickly hit the breach and the scattered spider extradition. Nearly 4 million individuals notified by a major medical device manufacturer. SSNs and health data exposed. The company says no evidence of public exposure, but 4 million notification letters is 4 million notification letters.
HIPAA obligations, state notification laws, inevitable class actions. For CISOs in healthcare and medtech, this is a reminder that the regulatory and legal exposure from a breach of this scale is enormous. And for everyone else, if this company is in your supply chain, you need to understand what data of yours they held.
And a scattered spider member, dual U.S.-Estonian citizen, extradited to the U.S. on charges related to hacking a luxury retailer. The interesting forensic detail is the FBI traced him using a Windows device ID, basic operational security failure on his part.
Scattered Spider has been one of the most disruptive threat groups targeting enterprise environments. The continued prosecutions are good, but the group is loosely organized, and taking out individual members doesn't necessarily degrade their capability. CISO should continue to treat Scattered Spider TTPs, particularly social engineering of help desks and SIM swapping, as active threats.
All right, Alex, let's look at the bigger picture this week. What's the thread that ties these stories together?
Speed. Every story this week is about compression. The time between patch and exploit is now minutes. AI agents are compressing attack execution from hours to minutes. State actors are running campaigns against known vulnerabilities that organizations simply haven't patched fast enough. The defensive model that assumes you have time, time to assess, time to schedule, time to respond, that model is breaking.
And I'd add that the attack surface is getting more consequential, not just broader. KVM hypervisors, BeyondTrust PAM, NetScaler VPNs, ColdFusion web apps. These aren't edge cases. These are foundational infrastructure components. When these break, everything behind them is exposed.
So the action item for this week is honest self-assessment. How fast can your organization actually patch a critical vulnerability? Not theoretically, actually. If the answer is more than 72 hours for internet-facing infrastructure, you have a gap that this week's threat landscape will punish.
And if you're not already modeling AI-assisted attacks in your tabletop exercises, add Jade Puffer to the scenario list. The future just showed up.
That's our show for Tuesday, July 7th. Show notes and links to every story we covered are at cleartext.fm. I'm Alex Chen.
I'm Jordan Reeves. Stay sharp out there.